If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Sarah. Say that five times. Shit Show Sarah. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. What song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Yeah, I thought about this a lot. And Like It or Not by Madonna. I feel like it is a good scapegoat anthem because it's all like, here I am, like it or not. You can like it or not. You can
love me or leave me, because I'm never gonna. I thought you were about to say like it or not, like that was your lead in to telling me what the song was gonna be. And then it was gonna just be something horrendous. Like it or not, Nickelback or something like that.
No way. No.
I don't think I know that song.
It's the last song on an album of hers that came out in like 05 or 06. So it's old. And I've been getting back into that album on the treadmill. So
05 or 06, I feel like, is that like Ray of Sun album?
Yes. It was after that one. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm trying to think, like, has anyone ever said Madonna before? And I'm shocked if that nobody has, but I don't think anybody ever has. So
I love
kudos
Madonna.
To you. Yes. Okay. Carbohydrate.
Well, probably bread in any form, but specifically biscuits. I am a biscuit slut. I want biscuits every day.
You can only pick like one way to have a biscuit for the rest of your life. Like one sort of toppings, condiments to use with it. What are you going to do?
Let's go with gravy.
Gravy.
Yes.
And would the gravy have sausage in it?
Yes.
Yeah. You're like, what a dumb question.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Can you make biscuits? Well,
no, man, I have tried and I can't get it right. I need someone in my kitchen hands-on to like show me, because I feel like I have tried a million times, different recipes, techniques. I can't get it right.
What happens? Just not like moist enough.
I don't ever get that like airy. Yeah, I don't ever get that airy, fluffy biscuit. That's what I cannot achieve. They'll turn out like rocks.
Baking is hard.
It is.
Okay, cheese?
I like all cheeses, but if I had to pick one, I think I'm going to say Gouda. I like a good Gouda.
Smoked or non?
Either. I'll take them. Both. Oh. Yes.
And condiment?
I'm not a big condiment gal. I'd probably say Dijon mustard. I love a Dijon, and you can add it to all kinds of things.
So, how did you find out that you were an adult child?
Probably from listening to your podcast.
How did you find me?
I am honestly not sure. I think it happened after I read Dr. Ramani's latest book on narcissistic abuse, and that was a new term to me. And I seriously think I searched narcissistic abuse on Spotify. And an episode of yours came up, and I was like, what is this? And I dove in like that. And that was my first exposure to the term. I had never heard adult child of alcoholics before. My only previous exposure to the term, like I had read Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents by Lindsay Gibson in like 2020. But I didn't realize that adult child had a very specific meaning.
Connotation. So when you found me, and found out the term, had you already had the awareness that you had complex trauma or had complex PTSD?
Yes. And my first exposure to that idea was after I read The Body Keeps the Score in 2017. That was the first time I learned what CPTSD was, and I really saw myself in that book, and it was a big holy shit moment for me, because I was going through a lot of health problems at the time, and that was the first time I ever made the connection to my health issues and my childhood, even though I was very aware that my childhood had created some of my health problems, but I had never really put it together like that before.
What were those health issues?
I was sick constantly as a child due to my parents smoking cigarettes inside the home. So I mean, constantly upper respiratory infections, bronchitis, pneumonia, flu, severe allergies. And then I developed pretty moderate to severe asthma. Like my primary memory of childhood is of being sick all the time. So as a result of being sick so often, really throughout my life, my lungs are full of scars and nodules because I had the flu in 2015 and my doctor thought I might have pneumonia. And so she's like, let's get your lungs x-rayed. And that was the first time I had ever seen my lungs. And the doctor asked if I smoked, and I was like, no, I've never smoked anything a day in my life. I have smoker's lungs, and it's from just breathing all that as a kid and being sick.
Honestly, to me, that sounds like so fucking terrifying.
Yes.
Like to have to look at that and see your like. That really makes me so uncomfortable.
Yes, I saw those x-rays and I stashed them away somewhere. I think I might have thrown them out. I don't know if I still have them or not. But it was crazy because I'm like, as much as I had pneumonia as a kid, I'm sure that my lungs were x-rayed back then too. And it's not like I ever saw those images or a doctor ever spoke to me about them because I was a child. So that was a big moment for me to see that, to see it, like literally a physical scar of childhood abuse. Yeah.
Did your siblings develop similar respiratory issues?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I have one younger sister and she had some allergies and she would get eczema sometimes, so that like might have been related, but she was not sick like I was all the time for whatever reason. Like my body just couldn't handle it for whatever reason. Hers was better. And I think that's also very connected to how we were treated in our childhood, that I was the scapegoat and she was the golden child. So she received a lot more positive love and attention than I did. And I'm sure that impacted her health as well. Like, how could
Yeah.
it not?
Yeah, it's fascinating and horrible. When you were a kid, did you have the awareness that your health issues were related to your parents smoking?
Yes. And I don't know how I figured that out. I was growing up in the late 80s and early 90s, and I think maybe there was commercials on TV about secondhand smoke, or maybe we were learning about it in school, but it was kind of like the time when the public awareness of that was really being raised. And by the time I was like 11, I'd figured it out. Well, actually, before that, because my asthma was so bad that my mom took me to a lung specialist at like one of the research hospitals. They did like a bunch of tests on my lungs, and we were sitting in this very fancy doctor's office after all this tests and stuff, and they're talking about my lungs. And for whatever reason, I noticed that my mom didn't tell him that they were smoking inside the house. And so I was probably like eight, nine when this happened, 8 or 9. And I asked the doctor myself, like, well, what about cigarette smoke? You know, like, I don't know how I was brave enough to do that at that age, to ask a question like that to a doctor in front of my mom. And the doctor was like, yeah, that's really not good for you. That should not be in the house. And I think I thought for a while that maybe that would change their behavior. Like me and my sister, we started doing things like hiding their ashtrays, throwing away their cigarettes, throwing away their lighters.
This is like
And
alcoholism.
yes, 100%. And we got in big, big trouble for that. And then for whatever reason, it all came to a head. And I confronted my dad about it one day when I was 10 or 11. And I told him, like, your cigarette smoking is making me sick inside the house. Like, I was aware that I could not breathe, and I was sick all the time. And I told him that. I said, you've got to stop smoking in the house. And he like flipped out. He screamed at me that, you know, it was his house, he can do what he wants, and the idea that secondhand smoke is bad for you is government propaganda. And it was like, it's such a huge fight. I like blacked out. I remember literally seeing stars. That's how loud I was screaming at them. And I have no memories of what happened after that either, which I didn't realize until recently. Like, what happened? I went up to my room. I was probably really upset. I was probably crying. And then what? I have no idea. What I do know is I can place it in a context with how my personality changed at school, because the timing of that totally coincides with when I stopped speaking up in school. I became very quiet, very withdrawn, and I hadn't been that way before at school.
Is that an experience that you've had specific emotional flashbacks related to?
That's a good question. Probably. And that incident with my parents really kept me from speaking up in any other way with them after that. Like, I just completely shut down, even though like I always remembered that incident, and even still talking about it now, like I can feel the activation in my body for sure, that it is still like a very traumatic thing that lives in my body for sure.
So you had the health issues and reading the body keeps the score. Would you say that you had like a quote unquote adult child bottom?
Yeah, I would probably say it was from 2017 to 2019. I was having a lot of health problems. I was sick all the time, and that I'd had a blood clot in 2015. I was only like 32 when that happened. And then in 2017, a long-term relationship ended with an alcoholic that I had been with for like 3.5 years. And I started getting sick like every 3 to 4 months at least. You know, coughs that would last for months, things like that. And I kind of went crazy dating after that. I was seeing a lot of men, putting myself in a lot of very dangerous situations that I should not have been in at all. And really, I was completely disconnected from what was good for me during those times. I had a lot of bad experiences with men. I dated 3 men in a row who hid unborn babies from me, as in like they were all expecting a child with their ex and neglected to inform me of that at all.
That's interesting. I wonder what's there. That almost sounds like a Mark Hollin like
Yeah.
weird like legacy thing playing out there.
Right. It could be. I feel like it's connected to, I have a bad tendency of like choosing to ignore reality that's right in front of my face a lot of times, or you know,
Nobody can relate.
purposely not asking questions that will expose reality. Yeah, or I'm always like taken aback or surprised by some traumatic thing that's gone on in my life when sometimes I'm willfully putting myself in those situations. You know, I feel like it's related to that.
I wonder if there's anybody though in your family like that had a situation like that.
That's certainly possible. I'm not aware of any details like that I can think of off the top of my head, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So let's go back to childhood more. Obviously we painted a nice picture with, I think that summed up a lot of with the smoking and everything, but yeah, like what else would you like to share there? How many years apart are you and your sister?
We're 2 years, and the idea of my parents choosing an addiction over me is an idea that I'd only come to understand recently. And I never had any idea that my parents were alcoholics or had a drinking problem. Alcohol was just ever present. They were daily drinkers, heavy daily drinkers. But I never saw them drunk, to my knowledge. You know, like it was just normal. My dad would also drink and drive occasionally. That didn't seem unusual to me. It's been a lot of uncovering and looking back with fresh eyes, with my childhood in regards to their drinking, because I never considered it an issue. Like I was just so focused on the cigarette smoking, you know, that I didn't occur to me that they were also drinking a lot, you know, like sometimes finishing a 12 pack in a night, you know, and my dad would have to go run to the store for more beer. And he would do that almost every night, you know.
What was their relationship like?
They are still married. And, I never saw them being particularly loving with each other. My mom is very much in control, and my dad is a very typical enabler of her. That my mom's emotions ruled our house. There was no room for anybody else to have emotions or feelings besides her, really. And he kind of acted as her like flying monkey in that regard. You know, we would get into fights all the time when I was a teenager, and you know, I was a good kid. Like I never acted out, like literally never. I never got in trouble. I had good grades at school. I was a good student. And looking back, I'm like, what in the hell could we have ever been arguing about that was that serious? You know, it was probably just me being a normal kid, and it would result in her in hysterics, crying, sobbing, screaming, stomping upstairs, slamming the door. And then, you know, my dad would let some time pass, and he would come into my room, not to comfort me, but to say, "You need to apologize to your mother. You really hurt her feelings." And it's not like nobody ever apologized to me for hurting my feelings. So he's definitely always been in that role with her. And they're both just kind of like two narcissistic peas in a pod, I think, you know, like two very broken people. And that's why they're still together after they've been together like 45 years. So I'm on year three plus of basically no contact with them. And like since this has been going on, my dad has reached out multiple times in very limited, insufficient ways to try to move forward. And I have not heard a peep from my mom in over 3 years. She is so wounded and so upset by our last incident, I'll call it, that happened in 2022, that I'm pretty sure I might not hear from her again for the rest of her life. Like I just feel like she would rather go to the grave with no relationship with me than ever admit that she did anything wrong. She's very much always had all of the power in her household and their marriage.
Is that when you went no contact with them? Was after that incident with your
Yes.
mom?
Yeah, in 2022. But this is the third time. It's been basically 20 years of me pulling away in different ways, slowly over time. The first time was when I was in college, and I had a fight with my parents about money. Money has always been a big issue in our relationship. My mom basically threatened to steal some of my scholarship money from me as they were in the process of buying a vacation home and a new boat, because she told me that I was making them go broke. As they were literally buying a vacation home. And so that was the first time I didn't speak to them for just a few weeks, I think is what it lasted then. That was like my junior year of college. And then the second time was in 2015 after a fight I had with my dad over borrowing their car because mine was in the shop for a week. And he got very like demanding with me about it. And that's the thing about my dad's like, even though he is the enabler, he has this really like very nasty, aggressive, mean, almost like sadistic side. He was extremely rude to me. And I kind of like just put my foot down. I was like, don't talk to me like that. And he flipped out and called me a bunch of names. And I was like, that's it. And I didn't speak to them after that for about 2 full years. So this is currently the longest that we've gone, and I don't see it ending anytime soon.
I feel like a lot of similarities with my parents, but would they also like use money as a way to of like to keep the connection with you as well?
Yes, very much, very much as a tool of control. And that's what I started to figure out when I was in college. And at the time, it didn't make any sense to me because, you know, being the scapegoat, I've been forced to be very independent my whole life. And, you know, like I've been working full time since I was like 20 years old. I've always been a good saver and good with my money and all of that. And I didn't understand why my parents didn't like that about me because I thought, like, didn't I learn this from you all? Because you've been, you know, this is what I thought at the time, like, you all have been good money role models for me. And I feel like I've learned that from you. And I don't understand why it bothers you that I'm saving my money. And now I understand. It bothers them because I was independent. They would
Yeah,
have
'cause you won't
preferred,
need them.
exactly, they would have preferred me to be more dependent on them like my sister has been. They treated her completely different in regards to the money. They gave her money for all kinds of things, never for me. And in college, I just started figuring out that like it always came with strings attached. It would always get thrown back up in my face as a look what we did for you, look at everything we do for you. And it was really those sorts of things that why I started pulling away in college.
Do you want to talk about the genealogy stuff?
Yeah, so I've been into genealogy like since I was a little girl. I have been interested in stories about my ancestors. And now I know, like, on some deep level, I must have been doing that because I knew that my own parents, like, I never felt at home in my own family. And learning about my ancestors, you know, was a way to like build another family for myself that. Learning their stories and learning about who they were, and that I am just as connected to those people as I am to my two parents. So I've known since I was a little girl that I was very interested in it. And I started researching my parents' trees about 15 years ago. So I have about 15 years worth of knowledge now. So I know our whole story. My dad's side is the story on that side is they are recent Polish immigrants. My great grandfather came from Poland in 1909 when he was 17, to escape famine in Poland. So my grandfather was a first generation American growing up in rural Oklahoma as 100% Polish. And my dad's mom was Cherokee. So my dad's side is the Polish immigrant story and then the Cherokee story. And my four times great grandmother died on the Trail of Tears when my three times great grandfather was only a 4-year-old boy. And that man lived until 1929. So I had a Trail of Tears survivor alive in my family until 1929. So I feel like those are two, you know, obviously really traumatic stories on my dad's side of the family that I can see how that has created, you know, like me having a bad relationship with my parents. Like I'm not the only one in my dad's family. There's a lot of dysfunction and a lot of estrangement, a lot of toxic family relationships on that side of the family, along with a lot of chronic disease. Like you name it, we've got a family history of it pretty much. And then my mom's side, is, well, I've just recently, just this in the last year, I've started to do more research on her side, and I figured out that she is descended from the most slave owners I have ever seen in a tree. And I have done a lot of genealogies for other people. Like, I've had 20 plus clients at this point, and I have never seen this much slavery in any tree I've ever done, ever. And you know, most folks in Oklahoma, if you live or if you've been in Oklahoma a while, your family probably has some connection to slavery. But I've just recently been thinking about what that does to people over generations. You know, obviously it's awful for enslaved people, of course, but it's also traumatic and awful for the slave owners, you know, because over generations, it's a you lose your humanity that way, you know. So one half of my mom's side is that, and then the other half is blindness, is that we have this family history of a genetic eye disease that causes progressive vision loss. So I'm literally descended from generations of blind people. And I just feel like you can see the trauma all over my tree with those two stories, and history of alcoholism on both of my parents' fathers are alcoholics. My mom's dad died from it when he was 44, and she was 11 when that happened. And my dad's dad, I know a lot less about, but he also died relatively young. And I've just heard that he had a drinking problem as well. And so I'm sure it goes farther back than that.
It's really interesting. So how has your relationship with your sister like panned out in adulthood?
We have never had a relationship pretty much at all to speak of. And, you know, like when we were kids, we were not close at all. We fought all the time. My parents would never intervene. Like, my mom would literally say, you'll stop when one of you gets hurt. And even though I was older, she was always bigger than me because I had was so sick all the time. I was like underweight as a child. And so she could really physically dominate me, even though I was older. And so as adults, we have just not had any relationship at all. She has lived in other states far away until recently. She moved back to Oklahoma about 4 years ago. And I was hopeful that that would be an opportunity for us to get closer again, because she's got two kids and I would love to be an aunt. But then this stuff happened with my family again, and she went through a divorce. Come to find out, she was married to an addict. I didn't know that. Her ex-husband had a pretty serious drug problem. So we just don't have a relationship. Like, we've texted some in the last couple of years. And, you know, obviously, as my parents age, I don't know how that's going to be handled with us. But like, a friend was telling me the other day, like, well, you could just call her. And I was like, I have literally never once in my entire life called my
Just
sister.
called my sister.
No, we don't have conversations like that. And my parents have really triangulated us over the years. They like to gossip about me to her and her to me, a lot of that. So they have purposely divided us over the years. And so we just, like, I wouldn't even know where to start trying to build a relationship with her.
Do you know if she's sought any healing at all?
I have no idea. I don't know. About a decade ago, the last time I was not speaking to my parents, we got into a big fight about it because I was asking to see my nephew, and she like really laid into me for making mom and dad so depressed and so sad, and quit making them so sad, Sarah. And you have a huge anger problem, Sarah. You need to go to therapy. And it's like, you know, she had no idea what she was talking about. I'm like, you know, because she has not known me as an adult, and she had no idea that at that point I had like 6 years of therapy under my belt. So the way she was talking back then, it makes me believe that she probably has had some therapy. And I certainly hope that she has done some kind of healing work after her divorce. I worry about my nephew and my niece. But yeah, I really don't know.
I do think that that is like one of the most insidious and fucked up things about dysfunctional families are the way in which siblings are never even given the opportunity to cultivate the sort of relationship that you should have with a sibling.
Yes. And I have always felt so much shame about that with her. And my parents have also blamed me for it. My parents over the years have loved to throw that in my face and say, "You need to talk to your sister. Why don't you talk to your sister?" And it's like, well, because you all have pitted us against each other from day one. And so I've always been really ashamed that I haven't had a relationship with my sister. But and it's only been in the last few years that I've come to understand that like the deck was really stacked against me, and this was not. It's not my job to fix it. It's not something that I broke. It was not my fault that it was this way. Like, there was a whole toxic system around us that created the circumstances for our lack of a relationship. It's not anything I fucked up, you know?
So when was the first time that you landed in therapy?
Like 2008. So I was like in my mid-20s. And it was only because I was in a very toxic relationship where my boyfriend at the time basically told me that I had to go to therapy or he was going to leave me. And that was a ended up being a 5.5 year long, like kind of on again, off again, extremely toxic relationship, extremely mentally and emotionally abusive. So I went to therapy because he told me to. But it was a good experience for me back then because that was the first time, like in my mid-20s, where I was starting to piece together how my childhood was impacting me in adulthood. And we've been talking about my sister so much, I forgot, I neglected to mention she had a suicide attempt when she was 19 and I was 21. And that was like the first wake-up call for me and my family that like things are not normal here. So when I started therapy in my mid-20s, like my family was still very much reeling from that. You know, it was only I was only like 3 or 4 years after that, after her attempt. And when that happened, it was like a bomb going off in our family. And that was my senior year of college. So it really impacted my ability to think about my future or be proactive about a job search or anything. Like I went into total like fawning helper mode, like teaching my parents about psychology because they were clueless and like managing the whole thing basically. I turned into their therapist, and that dynamic lasted for a couple years.
Were they receptive to it at all?
In a very limited way, like at the time, they actually did do some group therapy with my sister or like family therapy, and they invited me to participate in that. And I said, hell no. And looking back, I don't really know why I said no. I just knew like that this would not be helpful for me at all. And I'm sure I wasn't wrong about that at the time. So they did a little bit of that. And my sister also really got into, she had a pretty severe eating disorder. So she got into like some eating disorder treatment. And my mom was also seeing an individual therapist for a while because she had a really hard time with all of that. The emotional level in my house after that happened was like turned up to 11. My mom was constantly sobbing, constantly in hysterics. There was a period of time where she wouldn't come out of her room. She stopped grocery shopping. Like things just really fell apart.
Do you feel like you had a particular therapist that really helped you like gain clarity like around your parents and the family dynamics?
Well, probably that first one that I was seeing in my mid-20s, and I stuck with her for I think about 4 years at the time, and I have since gone back to her two other times. Those two other times, including just a couple years ago, were not helpful at all. But the first time I saw her, I feel like it was helpful because I had no understanding at all. I've always felt extremely confused about my family. Took on a lot of blame and shame for myself. And, you know, back then we never talked about narcissism. Like, I don't think that word came up once, but she was always telling me how selfish my parents were. And it was very validating to hear that from a third party. And that was kind of like the only framework I had to understand, like, why are my parents the way they are? Well, they're just extremely selfish people and very self-centered people.
When the boyfriend that made you like start seeing her, did that therapist help you to see the reality of that relationship? Like, did it backfire for him?
Yes, eventually over time, but it took like 4 years. It took a really long time. But even then, like I knew that it was because my relationship with him was like, besides my parents, that was probably the number one topic in our appointments back then, managing that, because I was always going through something crazy with him. Like he would cut me off for weeks at a time, basically giving me the extended silent treatment. He would tell me, I don't want to talk to you for 2 months. And then he would be the one to always go back on that. So it was a very confusing push-pull dynamic. So we were always managing that. But even at the end, I did not walk away. I did not walk away from a single abusive relationship until I was nearly 40. And that was an employer relationship when I left OU after 14 years. So yeah, I didn't end that relationship because of anything we talked about in therapy. He ended it over text 2 weeks before my birthday when I was supposed to go out and see him long distance. Like it was extremely traumatic.
So, is this the therapist that you just broke up with?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's been two. I saw two others after her. I went back to that first one, and then I just realized like that her usefulness for me has the boat has sailed. Like this is not helping me at all anymore. So then I tried a somatic experiencing therapist, and I think there was a bit of like a personality clash there, but I was not ready for that work in any kind of true capacity because I still wanted to like tell my story and I felt like she was always interrupting me and I couldn't deal with that. It's extremely triggering for me to be interrupted. Like I need space to be able to express myself. And then so the one I just left was after her.
So how long had you been re working with this most recent one?
About a year, actually.
And
Yeah.
had it been helpful throughout?
Moderately, I've been growing a lot in the past year in the ways that I'm able to like speak up for myself with other people and set boundaries with other people. And she did really help me coach me through that because it's really fucking hard. And I would have like a lot of anxiety about speaking up for myself and setting boundaries. And I feel like once I kind of I mean, I haven't mastered that, but once I got over like the initial difficulty with that, I was just like, this is not helpful for me.
So when you just ended it last week, right? Or this week?
Yeah, like a week or two ago, yeah.
So prior to that conversation, which I want to discuss, had you confronted her before or brought up issues directly to her?
Yes,
And how did those land?
during the appointment. Mostly well, like she received that you pretty well during the appointments. But I think like the last time I did it, which was to call her out on that, she was like audibly sighing as I was in the middle of a very intense, dysregulated morning. And I was like, well, if I have to keep telling you that how you're either responding or behaving or your body language or whatever during the appointment. Like this was like the third time. And I was like, this is just, it's not worth my time.
How did she respond?
She thanked me for letting her know and said that she was unaware that she had been sighing like that. And I feel like that's basic therapy 101, especially when you're doing like video appointments, because you can see yourself, you know, so you have immediate visual feedback. Whereas if you're face to face, you don't really, you have probably less awareness of what your face and what your body are doing than when you're on video with someone. So she responded positively, but ultimately I was like, I have no room for anything that's harmful for me at any level in my life right now.
But it's such a huge fucking sign of your growth, like just to be able to do that. It's so huge.
Thank
So
you.
huge.
Thank you. And I talking to a friend about it, I was like, I had a lot of anxiety about it because I was like, aren't I so fucked up that I need to be in therapy? You know, like, am I making a bad choice for myself by quitting therapy right now? Because I am still dealing with a lot. And I feel like, you know, someone as fucked up as me belongs in therapy, you know? But I've had enough
Yes, not
experiences
bad, but
now.
not a bad therapy.
Right, for sure, for sure. And yeah, I've had enough experiences now where I can see like bad therapy is harmful and you don't get any brownie points for just being in therapy, even if it's bad therapy, you know?
Yeah, not to mention like probably having the experience of being a part of the community and how you're received, like when you
Yes.
share things with us.
Yes, it's
And
been
to have
so
such a
cute.
contrast like to that, like for with your friends
Yes.
there. Well, I just want to say, number one, it's huge just that you were able to cut it off, but I think the fact that it's even bigger that you were able to name it and say it as opposed to just being like, I'm done, you know, I don't want to work with you anymore. But for you to speak up for yourself in that way, like, is so huge. And hopefully, I mean, it sounds like you brought it up to her several times before, but you know, it ha also has like the impact of hopefully turning her into like a better practitioner, but who the fuck
Right.
knows?
Sure. Yeah, they definitely need to hear that feedback. And being in the group has been so amazing. It has been the single most, by far, affirming thing I have ever done for myself because I have always just felt so alone in my fucked up family. And that has led to a lot of self-blame and thinking
Yeah.
that I'm the problem, I'm the cause of this, because that's what they've told me my whole life. You know, and then to get into a group and hear people who have really similar stories to mine, even if we come from very different backgrounds and we've had a different life path or whatever, but hearing like the basics of how so many of our families are all exactly the same. It's crazy to me how similar they all are. That has really opened my eyes to like, this is not my problem. Like, some families are like this, and that is just the family that I had the bad luck of being born into. And nothing has made me feel more affirmed than our group meetings, for sure.
So where do you feel like you're at right now?
Well, yeah, so the recent thing, you know, it was finding out in January that my parents had apparently written me out of the will after I totally accidentally discovered two property deeds for both of their houses where they've set it up so the houses will go straight to my sister when they die. And so that was like mid-January when I found that out totally by accident on a Sunday afternoon. And that sent me down probably like the worst CPTSD spiral that I've been in for a really long time. And I'm finally coming out of that to the point where like maybe about a month, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, I just was like, you know, how long am I gonna let them make me feel this way? It like overnight, it totally evaporated my self-worth.
Yeah.
And I've been dealing with like a really stressful situation at work. So, you know, it was not a good time for me to be feeling like shit about myself. You know, it's been really impactful the last couple of months, but I can start to feel myself turning the corner. So, you know, like in September, my dad had reached out again, and that had been the first I had heard from him in a little over a year. The time prior to that was at his brother's funeral in 2024, when he approached me and he blamed me for the situation. He said, the first thing he said, walked up to me and said, "This is all up to you." And I was like, "No, it's all up to you." And he said, "But I'm your parent." And I said, "And I'm your child, you know." And then that conversation ended with me saying, "You're rude as hell," and storming away, like at his brother's funeral. Like, those were not the words I would have chosen if I could think about it, but that's just what came out. So I had not heard from him since then. And then he emails me last September saying, "Oh, I love you very much, even though we've had our differences. I want to see you face to face. Has to be face to face, can't be over the phone. And don't tell your mom. Don't contact only me if you respond." So I had not responded to that email. I wrote two really angry drafts and didn't send them. And then I learned this new information in January. And then I put the timeline of it together that he sent me that email after they did what they did with the houses. And I'm like, that is so manipulative. So it finally just dawned on me that like I have to respond to this email and say I have to let them know that I know what they did, because a part of our dysfunctional relationship my whole life has been them hiding things from me, them being extremely manipulative with me in that way. And so I was like, if I let them know that I know, then they can't manipulate me anymore. You know, like I, that's how I'm going to let them know. Like, I'm not going to be a dutiful daughter going forward because look at what you've done, and there's no excuse for it at all. And so I finally sent that email, and I have felt so
When
much
did you send
better.
it?
Like 2 weeks ago. This is recent. Yeah. I think like 2 weeks ago. And so that has helped me finally start to feel really better. It feels like taking a little bit of my power back, you know, like leveling the playing field a little bit, which I've never really been able to do with them. They've always held all the cards, and I've always been like clawing from the outside trying to get into this family. And now I understand like these people chose to basically cut me out for good. And I don't owe them anything. And when we first went no contact, like when we first had our disagreement in 2022, I was torn up about it for like a solid year and a half. And I always hear people talk about when they're no contact, you know, like, oh, it made me feel free. I felt free. And I was like, that's a bunch of bullshit. I do not feel free. But I feel like I'm starting to feel that way now because I have leveled the playing field and I have taken some power back. And that is extremely freeing. And so I'm glad that I found that out about what they were doing with their property, because I just keep thinking of what if I hadn't found that out? And then I had, like always, gone crawling back to them at like I always did at some point. And then I would find that out after they died, after I had spent how many, you know, who knows how many more years enmeshed in a really toxic and abusive dynamic, which would have cost me my health, would have cost me time and energy. And now I know that at least that won't happen. I won't get to the end of their lives and have a surprise and look back and think I was fooled, I was manipulated, I was played. You know, that now I know exactly what they think of me, and I'm not going to play that game with them anymore. Like, we are done as far as I'm concerned. And I am starting to feel like it's a little freeing.
Did you get a response?
No, and I don't expect one. My dad and I have communicated, like I said, like via text a few times since 2022, and sometimes he would take like 3 months to respond to a text. So if he does respond, it probably won't be for a while, because like what would he even say? You know, like how can he possibly defend what they've done? So I don't know what he would say. And just knowing my parents, they are so unable to confront their shame about the whole situation, I don't see how he could respond. So yeah, I really don't expect a response.
Such a power move.
Thank you. Yeah.
Really is. Okay, give me three things that you like about yourself.
I'm a builder. I do mean physically, but I also mean like,
Bodybuilder.
yeah, no, I'm someone that like I have an idea and I make it happen. Whether that's, you know, with my house, with traveling, anything like that. Like I'm a really intentional builder, and I do love that about myself. And I would say that's probably related to the second thing, which is that I love my appreciation for beauty. Like I take a lot of pride in creating beautiful spaces and safe spaces for myself in my house. And that has been such a huge part of my healing the last 19 years that I've been a homeowner. And so those two things are a big part of that. And then I would probably say just my ability for empathy. You know, I think being the scapegoat in a family like this for so many years, it really gives you a lot of perspective on people. People don't choose their circumstances a lot of times, and you have to play the cards you were dealt. And sometimes those cards fucking suck. And That's not anybody's fault. And that makes me a person that I like a lot.
I love that. Hope or dream for the future.
Oh goodness.
You can't say getting your biscuit recipe right.
It'd be really amazing though.
That would be, I know.
I really struggle with thinking about the future. This is something I am
I
still.
totally fucking relate.
Yes, it's something I've only started doing the last few years at all. So I would say my hope or dream for the future is that I can continue to remain independent, because that's a really big deal for my health and my safety and my sense of security and well-being. And shit's hard out there these days, so
No kidding.
I hope that can continue to be the case.
No shit. Well, it has been such a joy to have you in the community. Seriously, you've brought so much and you just showed up as yourself. And I
Thank
really
you.
appreciate like your vulnerability and you just bring a lot to the group. So grateful that you landed. You came aboard.
Thank you so much, and thank you for creating this space and holding this space and running this space. It's changing my life 100%.
Don't let it all go. What you